Father, we thank you for another opportunity to share your word and to have our hearts turned in that direction of walking in love. It's my prayer that as the word of God comes to you, you hear it, it's mixed with faith, it means you do it, and it bears forth fruits in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God's love in and amongst us is what we continue on. And you will be amazed to know that if we all had this and walked in this consciously, we're going to be better and better and better and better. So while in fact many are so astonished by miracles, because we see miracles and we'll keep seeing miracles and we love miracles, but that might not be the most important of all. Many people are fascinated by prophecies. And we see prophecies, we flow in the gifts of the Spirit. But that might also not be the most important thing. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, right, verses number 13, he says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. I keep repeating this so that it makes loud sounding convictions in your heart and in your mind. That whenever God looks at a man, he looks at him from that standpoint of charity. And in fact, all other judgments that the man is going to be scaled on will be based on love. Talking about God kind of love. So when we see you do so many wonderful things, and yet still it has no element of love, then we cannot be too sure that God is even pleased with it. Now, oftentimes, the Word of God has said it's impossible to see God, except a man has faith. Now he comes and says, the greatest of these, right? The greatest of these is God's love in a man's heart. So while people pray for the gifts to have and work miracles, and people are praying for the gifts to prophesy and the gifts to flow in tongues and interpretations, what we get to realize here is that if you have all of these and we do not see that element of love, that element of compassion in your heart and in your deeds and in your daily endeavors, he says, you are nothing. The last five tracks, meetings, we have been trying to explain what this God kind of love is. We have been hoping to understand, just to widen up our scope. Now, I could have dealt with 1 Corinthians 13 in one meeting and then just make it a short, crampy one. But you see, I wanted to make sure that I was explaining everything to the simplest of methods That's why I keep using examples and I keep using synonyms and I keep using circumstances so that those pictures are well drawn in your mind, right? They're well drawn in your mind. So that when you get out of here and you go and you are tested, not by the Lord, obviously you could be tested by the world and its circumstances. You could also be tested by the enemy. Let he that is tempted not say that he is tempted of God. For God does not tempt, and God is light and he is not darkness. So we are going to be making sure that when we go outside there and there are situations that meet us, right, to test the word of God that we have on the inside of you, right, there are going to be positive responses. And that's why we keep teaching all of these, is so that you will know what to do when situations arise. Somebody is getting to know what to do when situations arise. So you don't fall into some kind of misunderstanding. And when we are trying to talk to you, you say, Pastor, you don't know, Pastor, what this person has done to me, Pastor. No, it means you were not listening in the first place. So that you know what to do when you encounter difficulties, you encounter situations that demand you to walk in this attribute, you will not be found wanting. Amen. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, we wrap up on God's love in and amongst us. So love, right, does not behave itself unseemingly. We saw that yesterday. It seeketh not her own. It's not easily provoked. It thinketh no evil. We explained that already. You need to go back to, you know, the previous track and listen to them. Just make them available. Right? Tonight we move on to verse 6. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. One of the questions I asked you in the last meeting was, are you touchy? Are you resentful? You know who a touchy person is? The slightest of things get him angry. The slightest. It's like something we all shouldn't be angry about. You do it to him and he blows up. Right? But we have come to realize that that is not God's method of dealing with situations. That's not how God does things. And if that's not how God does things, we will now have to understand what God sees and what God perceives and how God is able to respond and also similarly respond the same. So there are some people who are always taking account of the evil done them. You see, hi, dear diary. In 2006, Mr. Samuel Jokoto failed me. And for this reason, he and his whole entire generation, I will never forgive them. If my children, one time, get to meet his children, cursed be it that they ever be friends. And in 2023, you get to realize the person still holds on strongly. It's like the person is not leaving it. Still holds on strongly. So I'll never forgive you. Not in this meeting. I'll teach you what unforgiveness can do to you. You will run away when you see it. You will run. When you say unforgive, you will run. So, this is the divine love gauge. So what I explain is that, are you positive? Are you not touchy? The least thing, do you respond in the way you should respond? Or you find yourself responding differently? So as long as you're taking account of the evil done you, then you're not walking in this God kind of love. As long as you can remember and still be hurt, you're not walking in this God kind of love. So today we say that love rejoiceth not in iniquity. 1 Corinthians 13:6. You know what it means to rejoice in iniquity? When we say something is an iniquity, right? In layman's terms, we're talking about a wrong. That's an iniquity. A wrong. A certain kind of a violation. So you when you see a certain kind of a wrong that somebody engages themselves in, or that befalls someone as a result of what they did, you don't find your heart become excited at it. I mean, the Holy Spirit brings to me a story. It's a typical example of rejoicing in iniquity. So, I had this friend of mine, and he brings two kinds of shittle to school. One which he seeks to eat himself. And there's another which he gives to seniors who access him for shittle. Now, for that kind of a shittle that he gives to anybody who access him, he will gladly give it to you. I don't know whether he had a contract with his mom or with his grandmother or something. The shittle is wickedly hot. I mean, if you take that shit off, please be on your way to the loo, because you will confess. And that's how you will never go back to take your shit off again. So you'll just be like, oh, do you have to? Oh, yeah. Gives you like 2 spoons. You say, Gwen. After you're done with the shit off. When you see him pass again, it will not occur to you that you should ask him for shito. So you will see that that's obviously not love, because you wouldn't want to eat the shito. Why would you want someone else to do that? Oh, he has got what is coming to him. Yeah. He deserves it. He deserves it. He needs it. I'm glad to see that he has failed. No, that isn't love. In walking in God's kind of love, having it in your heart, and making sure that it's amongst us, and it's very palpable in our midst, is that when we even see the enemy put down, wiped out, we do not rejoice in that violation. There is no rejoicing. Like, the fire of heaven has fallen on him. It's good for him. It's good for him. He's paying for his wrong. No, the God kind of love does not respond in that manner. Does not respond in that manner. So when you see yourself responding in that manner, he says, you have stepped out of the confines of love. So you will not take pleasure in hurting other people. You don't take pleasure in hurting other people. Yeah. Rejoices not in a certain kind of a volition. That's one side of rejoicing in iniquity, but I'll explain the other side of rejoicing in iniquity. It has a way of not being happy when bad things befall people. And also, it has a way of staying in truth. So, wherever there's God's genuine love, you not see, say, wow, fornication. Hey, you're going to fornicate. Oh, wow. How was it? No, love does not blossom in things that are wrong. Does not wish people ill. Does not want to wrong anyone. Now, listen, even if the person has wronged you, even if the person has wronged you, and it's very clear that the person is supposed to be blamed for this, God's kind of love, it wishes no one evil. It does not rejoice in doing harm or getting involved in some mischievous thing. You know, sometimes you might just find yourself rejoicing because someone missed it. No. You see that this person has a fault, or this person has a flaw, or this person is failing at something. Sometimes you want people to fail so that you can pass. Either maybe probably out of pride or out of ill will. You just want people to not do well so that you'll be the only one to do well. No, genuine love doesn't act that way. But rather, the shortcomings of others, the sins of others, they are a grief to a man who has love in his heart. They are a grief to him. So begin to search your heart. Is there anybody you are wishing ill for? Sometimes these people can even hurt you in very serious ways. Oftentimes the ladies might be there, and then this guy they gave themselves to, they loved so much, they cherished so much, and the guy says, I'm not doing again. And you find them cursing. Anytime the guy is mentioned amongst their friends, in their heart, they just want the guy to just be crippled or something. Just be useless. Yeah, the people like this. People like this. The guy left me. The guy will pay for it. No, God's kind of love does not have these. Whenever you have all these things, it's not good for you. It's not good for you. It impedes your efficacy. Yeah, it does. So whenever they see the guy, they just wish ill for him. Which are maybe his marriage does not work in the future. He doesn't have children. That's how they say it. Wish the person's wife will be barren. She will never conceive. She will know that it's because she hates me. No. God's kind of love does not rejoice in iniquity. It also wouldn't see a wrong and call it a right. No, that's not God's kind of love. Listen, if there's anybody you should be walking in love towards that you aren't, start to change that direction. Are you listening? Don't go any further. So it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but it rejoiceth in truth. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. When people are doing something wrong, don't stay amongst them and be part of what they are doing wrong. No, that's not genuine love. So you see, God's kind of love is an interesting thing. Here's the case where in the next verse, he's saying he believes all things. I'm going to explain that. So it's not going to just be in a place and say, oh, Sally, yesterday we drank alcohol. Oh, yesterday we did this. And then you're also there, hey, wow, hey, you are chilling, oh, hey, Charlie, hey. But you know very well that what the person is doing is that path that leads to destruction. You know very well. But you just play deaf and ear and you flow in with what's happening. No, he says that God's kind of love will say, see, brother, you're on the wrong path. And I'll advise you that this path you're on, it is going to lead you to destruction. So, brother, you need to consider what I'm telling you. God's kind of love can stand to a truth and speak it in love. Yeah. One of the days I was in my room and I was actually asleep. And then a couple of my roommates went out, they got drunk, they did this here and there. And then they came back into the room. And then they started discussing the things that they did previously. So I was sleeping, but I don't know, for some way, somehow, those times where you're sleeping, you just wake up a bit. And then you can hear what's happening and then you sleep again. So I just woke up and I started hearing. And I said, what's that? And then they were pouring out the things that they did. So right then in my sleep, I just got up from the bed and they were still talking and I was quiet and I sat on my bed. When I sat on my bed, the Lord opened my eyes and I began to see something in the realm of the spirit. So I waited while they were quiet, about four boys or so, five. I mentioned his name. I said, so, so and so. And he said, hey, man of God, you are awake. We thought you were sleeping, you know? And I said, yeah, I was sleeping, but I'm awake now. And I said, while you were speaking, the Lord showed me this in a vision. And I started to explain to him. And I started to share with him what I had seen. And actually, the guy was cursed. Yeah, the guy was cursed. I said, do you remember that in level something? I remember, I said, you were supposed to leave the country to Ukraine. And the guy had his hand on it. He couldn't believe the things I was telling him. Yeah, a lady had cursed him. And that's not, I'm not saying that curses are going to work on you as believers. Of course, he probably wasn't a believer. And that's why he will have these things working in his life. So I now try to explain to him that, see, the things that you are saying, I'm trying to show you the root of what is actually happening in your life. Then I asked him, I said, do you see that your grades, you are failing almost every, you are nothing in school. Yeah. And that day, I remember, he went out and he called me. And he said, please, can you pray for me? Please, can you pray for me? And then I prayed with him. A few days later, he was sick. And then he called them to tell me to come to his room where he wasn't coming. He was very sick. He had taken all kinds of medications. He was still sick. Yeah. So you see, there's a way love can say what you are doing is wrong. See, some of you have to put away that kind of an attitude where you say, oh, I just don't want to talk to my friends about anything because they, you know, are going to say I'm very crave. And you see, God's kind of love can rise to an occasion and call a wrong and call a right. God's kind of love. It can do that. It can rise to an occasion and refute something that is right and refute something that is wrong and say no to something that is wrong and say yes to something that is right. It's God's kind of love. It's God's kind of love. So there's a way. There's a way. Right? There's a way it happens. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. Also, God's love will bear all things. So as long as you're taking account of the evil that's done to you, you're not walking in God's kind of love. I've used those times where you just say, this person has so much stepped on my feet. No. You have that capacity to bear. He's not saying bear some things. You hear some people say, there are some things I can accommodate. But there are some things too, Charlie. I can't really accommodate them. No, God's love shed abroad in our hearts can accommodate all things. It believes all things. So as long as you're taking account of everything that somebody has done to you, evil somebody has done to you, you won't be able to believe the best of every person. You won't be able to believe the best of every person. Have you noticed that the natural human love is opposite of believing the best of everyone? It's opposite. Believing the best of everyone means that you believe that the person is going to be the best of what you will have them become. Yeah. Some people are always looking for something to try and get on someone and then accuse them for it and talk about them. But love does not act that way. It says, oh no, he's going to be fine. He will do well. I believe the best of him. I believe he's going to pick up. I believe he will be fine. It's not, he has done this. He has gone to do that. He will do this he's like this. Oh, this person is like that. No, it believes that the person can become best. Yes, that's God's kind of love. It's not ready to believe the worst of everyone. You know, there are certain times where friends talk about some other friends to you, and they say, this person is like this, this person is like that. Just look at them and smile. And say to them, I believe the best of him. And I believe God is helping him. Let's trust God. See, when you begin to walk in this kind of love, you will be amazed of what God can do through you. They say, hey, have you heard? This person, Charlie, this person has fallen off. No. You say, thank Jesus for him. I believe he's going to do well. And in your heart, genuinely believe that he's going to do well. So love has a way of believing the best. It believes the best. It never accuses and never says negative things about and never chastises and never points hands to and never points hands at and never says that this person is totally like this and condemned like that. No, it has a way of just saying, you know, I trust God that they're going to be fine. I trust God that he's going to be fine. Let's pray for him. Can we pray for him? Can we just speak words over him? When you start to do all of these, what a blessing you become. What a blessing you become. What a blessing you become. It's not ready to believe the worst of every person. There are certain times people can say things to you which are not healthy, wholesome. Just look them in the eye and tell them, I refuse to believe anything bad about him. I believe the best of him. Let me tell you something. Sometimes when we teach some of these things, you think they are just normal things that happen. But you're going to see them. At your workplaces, you will see them. At your workplaces, you say, hey, what is that? Yeah, you mean, hey, Charlie. When you bring those things to me, I'll just be smiling. And I was like, I think you'll be fine. Don't worry, let's just trust God, you'll be fine. That's all. We close the conversation. I believe the best of him. I believe the best of him. I believe the best of him. Sometimes you might say, I refuse to believe this about this person. I believe the best of him. So God's kind of love knows how to see people in their weaknesses and still see them the way God sees them. Isn't that how God sees us? Sometimes I'm amazed of how God sees me. I'm amazed of how God sees me. I'm telling you, it always amazes me. And how God decides to help me every time. Every time I see God help every day. Sometimes it makes me wonder. So if God still sees me with all of the things that happened to me and all of the things that I've done and all of the things that I'm doing and all of the things that I will continually do, then I can see men in that manner. I can see men that way. I can see men that way. So that I was running by the roadside. And I just crossed over to the other end of the road. And before I realized, I was shouting. And I was running. And I was shouting, glory to God. And I laughed on the road. I said, ah, me. You decide to always love me and help me like this. What a glorious God. So you see, we can believe the best of other people. We can. We can. On the road, I was not shy. It almost seems like the Holy Ghost just came upon me. I just ran upon him. Glory. 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 And I started to laugh. And I said, God, why do you always choose to help me every time? And I'm sure he sees things that I don't even know. He sees the reins of my heart. It means that the deepest parts of my thought patterns, he knows. The things that are good, he knows. The things that are wrong, he knows. And yet still, he says, I've not seen any of those. I choose to see men like that. I choose to see men like that. They are hurting us. They are speaking against us. They are saying things that are not true. They are saying things that are false. We refuse to see those things. We refuse to see those things. We look away from those things. And like God, we see them and we say, that man is a perfect man. We choose to see him the way God chooses to see him. We refuse to. We refuse to. We refuse to. 2 Samuel chapter 1. 2 Samuel chapter 1. Just want to show you a typical example Second Samuel chapter 1. Oh, what a man. It's this kind of a man whom God calls a man after his own heart. Oh. Second Samuel chapter 1. We'll read verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. We're going to look at NLT. NLT. Let's look at the story in the NLT. What an example. Tell the one who is listening to you, with you, alone, say to yourself, whatever state you are, I refuse to see those things. I refuse to see them. No. Second Samuel 1, right? 1 downwards. So let's read that, the whole thing in NLT. Refuse to see those things. You know, Saul actually had persecuted David for a long time, wanted to kill him with a javelin, did all he can to take David's life. Now you, they are not even taking your life. They just told a lie on you, that's all. After the death of Saul, David returned from his victory over the Amalekites and spent 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, a man arrived from Saul's army's camp. He had torn his clothes and put dirt on his head to show that he was in mourning. He fell to the ground before David in deep respect. So Saul is that man who is actually pursuing after David's life. He's pursuing after David. He wants to kill David. Where have you come from? David asked. He said, I escaped from the Israelite camp. The man replied, what happened? David demanded, tell me how the battle went. The man replied, our entire army fled from the battle. Many of the men are dead. And here comes the bad news. And Saul and his son Jonathan are also dead. This was a man that wanted to kill Saul. Now, it's likened to your mother who is not treating you well, your auntie who is not treating you well, your sister that's not talking to you and not treating you well. She has told a lie on you. Your brother who is does not really flow with you well. He looks like he doesn't really like you. He says, how do you know Saul and Jonathan are dead? David demanded of the young man. The man answered, I happened to be on Mount Gilboa, and there was Saul leaning on his spear with the enemy's chariots and charioteers closing in on him. And when he turned and saw me, he cried out for me to come to him. How can I help? I asked him. He responded, who are you? I'm an Amalekite, I told him. Then he begged me, come over here and put me out of this misery, for I am in terrible pain and want to die. So I killed him, the Amalekite told David, for I knew he couldn't live. Then I took his crown and his armband, and I have brought them there for you. I brought them here to you, my lord. And then David and his men tore his clothes in sorrow when they heard the news. You see, David had disciples who were like-minded. Do you see that? So David was not just the one taught to walk in love towards those who were ahead of him. His men were taught same. So David is actually teaching and discipling people in love. Do you see that? So David and his men actually hold their clothes together, and they tore their clothes in sorrow when they heard the news. They heard the news. They did not say, we thank God. The person that's there, the person is there. The person that stopped, the person that wanted to kill him, God has paid him. God has, no, they tore their clothes because they had been taught by David. What a man. They mourned. They wept. They fasted all day for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the Lord's army, and for the nation of Israel, because they had died by the sword that day. Now listen, David is a wonderful man. Then David said to the young man who had brought the news, where are you from? He replied. says, I'm a foreigner and a Amalekite who lives in your land. He says, were you not afraid to kill the Lord's anointed one? David asked. Then David said, kill him. So the man thrust his sword into the Amalekite and killed him. You have condemned yourself, David said, for you yourself confessed that you killed the Lord's anointed. Many times, let's not join hands in celebrating the fall of others. Let's not join hands. Let's not join hands. Then see what David is doing. David is showering love on Saul and Jonathan. David composed a funeral song for Saul and Jonathan, and he commanded that it be taught to the people of Israel. It is known as the Song of the Bow, and it is recorded in the book of Joshua. So he taught the people. Oh, how the mighty heroes have fallen. He says, don't announce the news in Gath. Don't proclaim it on the streets of Ascalon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice and the pagans will laugh in triumph. That's saying a fellow believer has fallen. Don't proclaim it on the streets. Don't proclaim it. Don't show it. Don't share it. Whatever false news that comes to me about any man of God, that comes to me about any believer, it stops with me. I'm covering out a multitude of sins. That is what love will do. It says, this news, this person that wanted me to not do well, he is now not doing well. Don't go and stand on the pulpit and say, this person is now not doing well. Don't proclaim it. Don't announce the news in Gath. Don't proclaim it on the streets of Ascalon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice and the pagans will laugh in triumph. Don't proclaim it. He taught them a song. So don't proclaim it. He commanded that it be taught for the people of Judah. It's known as the Song of the Bow, and it's recorded in the book of Joshua. Don't proclaim it. When you see that friend that you were not like that with has become pregnant, don't go and stand somewhere and now begin to talk about it. Begin to say, ah, we said it. Shut up. That's a fellow anointed one. Are you listening? Full of the Holy Ghost, another believer, is whom you will not touch, for that fellow is anointed of the Lord. Has the Holy Ghost in him. Don't proclaim it. Don't share it. And the man of God has gone to shut up. Don't proclaim it. And all of these signs are signs that you're going to be walking in love. Walking in love. Often about people that carry bad news, I refuse to believe this about them. Say it to their face. Come, communicative person. Say to them, I refuse to believe this about the person. And I believe the person is going to do well. Say, I hear he has fornicated. Just say to them, see, I believe God will help him. I think we should pray for him. I believe God will help him. And God is helping him. Those are words that should come from you. I believe God is helping him. I believe God will help him. I refuse to believe anything about people, bad things about people. I believe the best of him. So God's love is ever ready to believe the best about everyone. since God is love, it means that God is ever ready to believe the best about each one of us. But the devil never wins a fight against us because he always believes the best of us. Say, look at that, your son. He's doing this. He has done this. He's like that. He's like this. He's like that. God says, no. This my son is mine. I believe the best of him. He will turn out well. I believe the best of him. And if God does this for us, we are going to be doing this for others. So 1 Peter 4 verse 8. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. Have fervent love for one another. There's a fervency to love. He says, love will cover a multitude of sins. Covers a multitude of sins. It never proclaims the errors of men. Never believes a lie. Never believes an evil. And even when it is true and plainly true, we start to believe the best of them. Don't be somebody that always wants to hear bad things about people. It's not a good sign that you're born again. In fact, those are one of the major traits of the enemy, of the devil. He's a slanderer. Moves around saying bad things and communicating bad things and speaking bad things. Whether true or untrue, he just speaks them. And he makes sure everybody gets to hear it. So all of those things will stop with you. If you are a current, electrical current that transmits bad things about people from today, disconnect from the power source. Disconnect from the power source. Once it gets to you, you know that it's not going anywhere again. That's all. So it believes all things. Believes all good things about people. But the bad, it does not. Believes all things. Sometimes you can just tell that this person is really, really, really a very negative fellow. But love has a way. Saying, I still believe something good is going to come out of him. I trust God for him. Oh, I trust God for him. I trust God for him. I trust God that he'll be fine. God is helping him. God is helping him. I remember a couple who started having issues because they were always listening to people from outside. Another outsider can say, oh, did you see this? No, if you just learn to believe the best of yourself, all those things will stop. How do you believe an outsider than you believe your husband or you believe your beloved? How? Say, we saw him with Zuzu and Zuru. And that's how the world is. Very toxic. Toxic environment. I'm telling you. Very toxic. And you must be careful. The kind of people you even put around you and keep around you. Very toxic environment. There's a secrecy even in love. Yeah, there's a secrecy. When you love someone, you are careful to keep carefully what they tell you. Don't just wake up and open your mouth and you are just saying anything somebody has told you. Meanwhile, it's supposed to be discreet. Supposed to be discreet. Supposed to be quiet between the two of you alone. But you go and find yourself, your okra mouth says, slips out, sweeps out, says everything. No. No. 2, believes all things, has a way. Love always finds a way. Always finds a way. There are many things I overlook because I'm walking in love. Yeah, many things I overlook them because I'm still trying to believe the best. I'm trying to believe the best. And I'm believing, saying this person is going to get better. I believe the best of him. I believe the best of her. So don't join people in saying, this person is very stubborn. Very, very stubborn. You are a very, very stubborn boy. You see, everybody is saying you are stubborn. No. You say everyone is saying you're stubborn. But I trust God will help you. And you look into the person's eye. When you are supposed to be saying, you are a stubborn boy. No, you look into the eyes and you say, listen, God will help you. Yeah. God will help you. Maybe you get to know someone like this is a thief. He always steals. Love will say, I believe you're going to stop. Yeah, I believe you're going to stop. And that also means that you start to put your things well. So you don't give him the temptation of wanting to steal from you. And also that means you probably might be sharing with him so that you don't give him the temptation of wanting to steal. Love always has a wonderful way of dealing with things. So it believes all things. Believes, never believes a lie. Hopes all things. So love has confidence in the future. It's not pessimistic in its nature. When hurt by someone, you don't say, hey, it'll be like this forever. He just keeps hurting me. No, there's a hope. It hopes for the best. In hope, you can actually see the flowers. They are very clear at you. But you still say, I'm still hoping. I'm hoping the best. Remember, you're believing the best. You're believing all things. All things. You're believing the best of the people. Also hoping for the best. That's not give up. See, this is how the person is. Some of you have relationships. Start practicing it in relationships now. So if you are married, start early practicing these things. As you go out, your normal activities, your normal duties, start practicing them. I practice them. Yeah. Many things that happen. And I'm like, wow. The love of God is amazing. Love endures all things. You see, what I'm teaching you feels like it's not. But that's the entirety of your Christian walk. Eh? If you say, tell me the summation of who a Christian is in one word, one, not two, I'll tell you is love. Christianity is love from the beginning to the end. It's just love. And that's why you can be many things, but if you are not love, you are nothing. You are nothing. So it endureth all things. Most of us can bear all things, can believe all things, can hope all things. And many can bear all things, believe all things, and hope all things, but only for a while. You see, one time I was speaking to someone and she told me, see, my threshold is almost full. It means that she was charging coming. She was charging coming. And when it gets full, it means that now be ready for an explosion. And that's when she can remind you of something that you did 4 months ago. So do you know that in 4 months you started doing 4 months, but I didn't know what I was doing. 4 months. 4 months is a long time. 4 months is a very long time. And people hardly remember what they do in 4 months. She'll quote for you everything that you started in 4 months. You remember that in 4 months? Last 4 months, you cut my call. While I was calling you, you told me you were somewhere. You didn't pick my call. The next day, say, oh, do you remember another time I told you to get this for me? You said you were here. You weren't able to get it for me. Okay. 3 months time. Do you remember when we're going here? The taxi driver said we should do this. You said this. Do you remember? Last 2 months. Don't forget. I told you this. You see? Last month. Do you see that? Yeah. I'm texting you. Every time I'm the one texting you. You are not texting me back. Do you remember? Okay. Now I've reached that level. I can't take this any longer again. It's nonsense. And see, I've always been wanting to tell you my mind, but I've always just been calm and quiet. You see, the moment you begin to talk like this, you have stepped out. You have stepped out. You have stepped out. And God's love is not in your heart. It keeps on bearing, keeps on believing, keeps on hoping. It doesn't give up. It destroys enemies by turning them into friends. If your friends are angry without a cause, be sorry for them. But don't let them conquer you also with their anger and their bad temper. Stand fast in love. Say, if you treat me nice, I'll treat you nice. If you treat me wrong, I would. It's the same way I'll treat you. No, no. God's kind of love is not dependent. Everybody can do that. An unbeliever can do that. If you treat an unbeliever nice, he will also be nice to you. Yeah, he will be. Everybody likes to be treated nice, and they will reciprocate that niceness. But true love is to be treated in a way, and you still can flow. And you still can walk in love. So stand fast in love. When somebody gets angry and is bringing the anger toward you, back in anger, don't respond. Don't respond back in anger. And there are all things that you must get to know about triggers. Everybody has something that triggers them that they are not too happy with, one way or the other. They don't really like it. When you do it, they don't really like it. And start to build capacity in that area. Build strength in that area. Sometimes you must just begin to identify. Sometimes when you start to talk, you talk everyone, everywhere, say anything. But if you do that, you only have a healthy home. You only have healthy relationships. Because it's not everything that you actually say. Yeah. So stand fast in love. Don't endure some things. Endure all things. For Christ's sake, endure all things. Sometimes I've done things for people. And they said, oh, we are going to do this for you. And I know it's a lie. But I'll still do it for you regardless. I'll still do it for you regardless. Knowing that you are lying to me. The thing you are saying, you will not do it. But you still find me do it for them. Yeah, still find me do it for them. So pay attention. Are you listening? Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Pay attention. Don't get moved. Don't get swayed. Are you listening? Don't get swayed. Don't get moved. Don't get distracted. Refuse to not walk in love. Now, there are things that shall fail. You're dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, but love will always remain. There's a time coming the gifts of prophecies will no longer be necessary. In heaven, you have to seek another occupation if yours is just to prophesy. What will be there to exhort or edify or comfort when we are there with Jesus? Everything we need will be right there. I won't have to exhort you to seek the Lord anymore. Just exhort you to commit yourself to the Lord. Exhort you to love the Lord. Comfort you by my words when you're going through tough times. All of our trials are over. We are there in the glory of His presence. So all of these things are needed here and now. And they actually fail. But God's kind of love will always remain. Will always remain. In heaven, we are even going to have overwhelming experiences of His love. It's like we'll get to greater depths of knowledge as to what truly love is. And we'll be there forever and ever. So I want to encourage you and charge you to begin to pay attention to this attribute of God. God's love in our hearts. God's love amongst us. Galatians 6 verse 10. God's love amongst us. Galatians 6 verse 10. I want to lay emphasis on this especially. Galatians 6 verse 10. Right? And let us not be weary in doing good and well doing. For in due seasons we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men. So that's God's love, is doing good to all men. Now in and amongst us, especially unto them who are the household of faith. He says, when you see a believer, that is a brother. So we will not go weary in doing good for all men. But you see, God's love amongst us lays out a special highlight on the believer. Once you realize somebody is a believer, that person is your brother. Are you listening? Once you see a believer amongst us, that person is your brother. That person becomes somebody that you call your brother. Especially them who are of the household of faith. It means what you do for all men. There is more emphasis on those who are born again. There is more emphasis on those who are born again. So when you get into places, you realize somebody is a believer. Let your favor be with them. Let your goodwill be with them. Yeah.
when you go into certain places and you see a believer who needs help, that's a brother needing help, especially those who are of the household of faith. So we're showing this goodness, we're showing this love to all men, but there's a specific emphasis on those that are in the household of faith, because they are real brethren, they are brothers. So you can give out tips to believers. Once you realize the person is a believer, you give out tips. I remember we're going to buy some things and drums, you know, and we had bargained. We bought other things. Then we got to this guy and we started having a conversation. I think Ivan was around. I don't know if he noticed this, but whenever the guy just said, the thing is this, I didn't say anything again. The thing is this, I didn't like push for any like, please lower the price. I just thought I could give him this because that's a brother. That's a brother. That's a brother. Especially those who are of the household of faith. That's a brother. That's a brother. That's a brother. That's somebody who is a brother. Sometimes when they serve you restaurants, just give them tips. That's a brother. When you see them in the hospital, at your workplaces, they need help. Channel those helps to them. That's a brother. Especially those who have the household of faith. You are going to be doing good to them. Great good to them. Great good to them. Right? This is God's love in and amongst us. Don't forget, especially those who are of the household of faith. Especially once you see that person is born again, your love towards them flows as it flows to all. But there's a particular emphasis on those who are born again. Are you listening? Are you listening? Yes. Especially those who are of the household of faith. You know what's called a household? It's an amazing expression and a term. Really amazing to get to know. There's a word oikios, right? It means that, you know, it points out, you know, the explanation of one belonging to a house or a family, right? So in that family is a relation by blood, by kindred, right? So here he's saying they're of the household of the faith. It means they belong to the household of God. We are relatives. We share things in common. We have one father. We understand things the same way. And so we help another. Another's cry becomes our cry. Another's pain becomes our pain. Another's tear becomes our tear. Another's weakness becomes something that we combine our strengths and we forcefully help him out of. Especially those who are of the household of faith. When you see a believer anywhere, never trample on him. Be biased towards believers. I'm not saying biased in a negative way. I'm saying let your attention be on them, because God sees them as family. They are family. They are people who are related to us. They are of the household of faith. When you see a believer struggling, it's time to help him with what he's struggling with. You see that in your class, sometimes there's a certain believer who likes the Lord, is always going to church, but it looks like he's always failing, he's not doing well. See, walk to them and say, please, can I help you with your academics? Can I explain this to you from time to time? They are of the household of faith. We are one family. One family. So God's love in us is going to be flowing through to everyone. God's love amongst us is going to be that river of love that we express to those who are of the household of faith. And it's special. Especially emphasis. Once you get to a place, you see a believer serving you, doing something for you, you say, that's a brother. That's my brother. That's my brother. And they say, hey, go and get me the tray. Hurry up. Why are you not putting me at work? No, once you get to know. And sometimes you might not even get to know, but there are certain times the Holy Spirit causes those things to come to you. You say, no, that's the brother. So you can keep the change. You can have it. You know, just buy a drink on the other side. While I drink mine, you can just get a drink on the other side. Yeah, this is for you. Say, wow, that's a brother. Say, that's my brother. You don't say, that's the waiter. You say, that's my brother. Especially of the household of faith. The Lord grants you understanding in this. And right from this moment, you're going to be walking in God's love and sharing his love amongst them. We become living examples of your love shed abroad in our hearts. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 All right, so we are done with this, and I'm hoping you listen to it over and over again. I've been listening to this, and I tell you, so it so blesses me. Yeah, it does. Amazingly. Yeah, it does. And I trust God that we walk in this attribute. Don't forget, especially, oh, this person doesn't have food to eat, especially. This person doesn't have a house to stay, especially. You make room for them. It's like you make room for them. Say, oh, I have only two slices of plantain in my house. Well, you can share. You can share. Say, I have a room, but you can't join me in the room because I like my privacy. Especially a brother, especially. It's like you are making room. Yeah. And I've always not had that problem. I've always not had that problem. I make room for many people. Yeah. Because they are brothers. I make room for them. I'm telling you, I make room for them. I make room. And sometimes you even inconvenience yourself just because of a brother. Yes, you can. You inconvenience. I'm not saying inconvenience that causes death. It's like you can now, you are both sharing a certain kind of comfort. Just because of a brother. Yeah. It's a godly thing to have. I find it very interesting when I see believers just make certain loose statements. I can't receive this person because my house is just for one person. You are a wicked person. You are a wicked person. She say, one person, at least you can sleep on half a place. I can also sleep on half a place. We'll survive. You say, we'll survive. Don't worry, we'll survive. We'll be fine. We'll survive. See, so you're going to buy food. There's this believer who does not, you can see, God's love in and amongst us, you can see. You can say, Lord, I just had this knowing that I should buy you food. And then you go with them and you buy them food. Yeah. Sometimes you can clearly see that this person, the things are not really going well. Doesn't have clothes. And oftentimes the Lord will lay out these burdens on you. You go. As you buy your shirts, you say, I know this brother doesn't have. Let me buy this brother some. Let me buy this brother's shirts. And then you buy them shirts too. And you come and give it to them as gifts. Amongst us, you're able to identify and see needs amongst the people. Amongst us. You're going to be doing all of these generally in love, but there's going to be an especially when it comes to the brethren. A brethren's trouble is a trouble for all. Sometimes I just think that maybe they're not taught. That's why they want everything the pastor. Say, this person needs this. Oh, let's go and talk to pastor. Because pastor should be the only one burdened with the burden of others. That's the wrong thing to teach. Don't delete this part out of the teaching. That's the wrong thing to teach. How about four or five brethren come together and say, let's do this and do this and do this and do this for this person? Yeah, it's possible. Rather than always leave everything to the pastor, say, go to pastor. Pastor, go to pastor. Go to pastor. Pastor will sort it out for you. No, it's wrong. See, after I teach this sermon, I'll be raising out love offerings for people who have needs. Are you listening? Or you don't like it? Yes, I'll be raising our love offerings. When we spot a brethren issue, you see, that's what I'm telling you, that most of the cultures that we're going to be building are going to be based on the things you have been taught. So maybe someone might see something on a page somewhere and say that these people, they are always collecting money. You are not wise. If you are joined the teaching, it will help you. A brethren needs like 500 cedis to go back to school. But maybe at that point in time, I might not have 500 cedis. And then I say, okay, 500 cedis might be too much on one person. So how about we just ask an offering, a love offering for someone? You see, somebody giving 10 cedis, another giving 20 cedis, another giving 20 cedis, another giving 5 cedis, another giving 10 cedis. Before you realize, we would have raised that money. And do you know something? Nobody is inconvenienced because 10 cedis does not mean anything to you. Rather than leaving the burden always on the pastor. Everything pastor. Nigerian pastor. Pastor, they've just sacked this person. Pastor, can you help us? No. How about you come together? Say, this. This person is stranded here. Listen, I want us to have these things as cultures. And the church did this. The early church did this. Say, come together. 10 people. We want 10 people to give 20 cedis for a cause. We want 50 people to give 20 cedis. You see, it doesn't inconvenience anyone. But you see, a certain brethren is going to be comforted somewhere. Yes, just because you did. Yeah, 40 cedis, 50 cedis, it won't do anything to you. It won't do any. Many of you, that's your lunch fee. You know, that's what you used to just have lunch. That's all. And sometimes you must not even know who the brethren is. You should just trust the pastor, that the pastor knows what to do with the money rightly. So from now, we introduce a culture. It's a love offering for our brethren. Are you listening? It's a love offering for our brethren. So once you just see a love offering targeted for this amount, you see, it's another opportunity to show love to another brethren. Rather than just say, oh, this is the pastor. Pastor, church money. Rather than say that, we need to, for example, we're going to have places like that, but in the starting stages, it's like that. People are going to move from places. People are going to move from, just because of the ministry. And they might need places to stay, need places. Don't say, oh, let's rent another one for this one. You're not wise when you talk like that. How about you say, I have a room. You know, let's manage it. Let's manage it. Come, you can come. You can come in. Let's manage it. There's no need renting. Let's keep the money for rent. Let's manage it. Amongst us, some of you must begin to open your homes if you can. Are you listening? Now, that I'm also giving a lot of caution will be done by the pastor's recommendation that this person can come to you. It's not just that you just sit there. He says, it's, everything that is happening must be under the supervision of your pastor. Are you listening? So we don't also have charlatans coming in. Pastor says, okay, you can do this. Before you gather and you say, we are going to help someone, you say, you text me. Don't do it without my knowledge. You text me, say, Pastor, please. So-and-so has just expressed a need. And I spoke to Brother so-and-so, Brother so-and-so, Brother so-and-so. And I think this is what we wanted to give. And Pastor, we want to know if it's okay to go ahead and give out this person to this person. And I'll say, okay, that's fine. Sometimes I'll say no. Yeah, it's not every time I'll say yes. I'll say no. And say no. Let's channel that in a certain way. Let's not have this person do this. Let's not have this person. Let's do it this way instead. Are you listening? So begin to see it in this light. And brother's need is your need. It's not like, hey, Charlie, you don't have any place to stay. We'll meet tomorrow. As for you, you are anointed man of God. You pray on the field. The person who pray on the field. I remember a deed a brother did me. I was at a place, and oftentimes when I closed late from where I had to be, he would just open his room to me. I can't forget. So I'll go and pray. When it's late in the morning, I'll come to his place and come and sleep. That's a brother. I'm telling you, that is a brother. And he had one bed, and we both would share the bed. And you never find him complain. Even a certain time, I knew he was lying. I knew he was not saying the truth. But that's what a brother would do. So then you just say, oh, me cry, I like lying on the floor. Hey, Charlie, let me lie on the floor. I like lying on the floor. But I could almost tell that this guy was just giving me the bed. That was what he was doing. That was what he was doing. He didn't like to lie on the floor. That was what he was doing. And he would leave me on the bed and I'll feel so some way. And he would lie on the floor. And he would lie on the floor. And he would lie on the floor. He would just put the pillow down and just lie somewhere. And I was like, God. God's kind of love. He's amazing. I want us to have this amongst us. Are you listening? Let it be that a brother's bedding is your bedding. You can see that there's this brother who is struggling to buy a shoe. But you have enough to buy a shoe for him. See, buy him that shoe. Are you listening? Buy him that shoe. God is pleased with some of these things. God is pleased with some of these things. God is greatly pleased with some of these things. A shirt, you see that every time. Blue shirt. Every time. Blue shirt. Every time. Blue shirt. Weather meetings, prayer services, blue shirt. Sometimes it's blue and pink. Wear pink today, blue tomorrow. Pink today, blue tomorrow. Pink today, blue tomorrow. But you, they brought you things from the UK. And you have a chunk of shirts smiling at you. Why don't you pick two or pick one or pick three? depending on how much you can give, and depending on how much you will want to. And you say, brother, I want to bring this to you. I want to bring this to you. Brother, you can use this. You can have this. I just thought about you and I thought to bring it to you. God's kind of love is a beautiful thing. Brethren, let's walk in this love. Are you listening? For love is of God. Father, we thank you for this. And we thank you that we are walking in this. Let me tell you, when you see that a brother needs an application or an employment somewhere, that's the opportunity to push him in there if he's skilled enough for the job. Don't intentionally hide things from people because you think they are not. No. You say, my brother needs this thing and I want him to have it and I want him to get it. Yeah. So you think it's like this everywhere. This everywhere. See, a brother, you can make certain recommendations for him to go further. Make it for him. Let him go further. That's God's kind of love. Are you listening? We're walking in this love. 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 Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Don't forget of the love offering, because I'll start raising up love offerings. Love offerings. Yeah. And I told you the last time that another love offering that you can give is that people who have hurt you, you do something for them. It's like you just say, I just, doing something for them, I just even be calling them. It's a love offering. I'm just giving you a love offering. Giving you a love offering. I'm just giving you a love offering. It's a love offering. You don't need to pay for it. Say, wow, but I've hurt you. Oh, don't worry, it's a love offering. So we're going to have love offerings of people who need things. Right? Say, can we just have a love offering for somebody, a brother? Can we have a love offering for a sister? Say 20. Oh, mine is 5. Oh, mine is just 2 cedis, 20 pesos. Oh, mine is 50 cedis. I can give 40 cedis. Oh, mine is this. I can give 100 cedis. Oh, mine, I can give 150. I can give 200. I can give 500. Give 1,000, 2,000, 7,000, 10,000, 15,000, 20,000. I can give 2,000. I can give this. Before you realize the need is sorted. Need is sorted, and we are all lacking nothing. You see, that's how God supplies in the body, is that he takes what somebody has in excess and he gives to another who lacks. So before you realize, there is literally nobody in the body actually lacking, because God makes the body self-sufficient in itself. So he makes it self-sufficient in itself. Yeah. He makes it self-sufficient. The body is self-sufficient. When you see somebody lack in the body, it means there's somebody with an excess who is not giving. That's oftentimes what happens. When you see someone lacking in the body, it means somebody with an excess is not giving. Somebody with what the person wants is not releasing it. And so you see the person struggling. See the person struggling. So somebody has not released it. Somebody has not given it. Somebody is not giving. They are holding on to it. And somebody needs it. And they are not giving it. Are you listening? So we're going to capitalize on this. We're going to strengthen ourselves in this. A believer, a fellow believer, is your need. A great need is your need. And you'll fight to make sure that happens. Right now, begin to open your hearts to this. Begin to open your hearts to this. You see that there will be literally no lack. Yeah, there will be literally no one lacking. So once we get to identify a need, say, pastor, I've been in my house for 2 days, I've not eaten. The pastor might give. Say, yeah, let's raise a love offering. Let's have foodstuffs sent to this home. Say 20, say 10. See 15, see 50, see 40, see 35, see 30, see 100, see 200, see 250, see 500. Before you realize, we've gone to buy foodstuff and we've sent to them. And we say, we're just giving you a love offering. We want you to eat and be jolly and be satisfied. That's what we want to have in your homes. We don't want to have your children lacking. Yeah, we want you to be fine. So someone has just been done this. We say, our homes are open. Come. We have a spare bed for you. and you start to walk with them and you start to love. You see, love is a beautiful thing. Father, we thank you for this great love shed abroad in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Did this bless you?